You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 27th, 2018. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we never purge our writers, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Big news just broke on Friday afternoon. It's not the Trump administration firing a bunch of people.
No.
It's red state.
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners what red state is, just briefly?
Once upon a time. Yeah, kick back, everybody. It's going to take about half an hour, 45 minutes.
I'm sorry, we're out of time, says
sorry,
Steve.
Sorry, we're out of time. Yeah. All of our sponsors have taken up all of our time. Uh-huh. Yeah, red state was originally began as sort of the conservative answer, the shitty conservative answer to Daily Kos. It was going to be the big blogging universe where all the bloggers hung, and it was going to be great, and it was going to be conservative, and it just turned into the, you know, what everything else conservative does, a shit pile of groupthink and piss off the liberals. The conservative movement died about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, really. If you want to not to put too fine a point on it, and there's been nothing new under the sun since except tax cuts and hating liberals. And after the Bush administration collapsed, and you had places like Daily Kos popping up, and, you know, Driftglass blog and the news blog and Blue Gal's blog and places like that, they needed a way to get on the internet, get their message out there, and Drudge wasn't cutting it. So they went with a web format. And of course, it filled up immediately with the worst writers in America, all of whom made a living doing it because there's always money at the Wingnut welfare trough. And it's now become one of the many sites around here, including The Federalist and Town Hall and places like that, where you just get money from anonymous donors in unlimited amounts to keep pumping this bilge out into the world.
In apparently really large amounts. I mean, we're not sure, but boy, do they hide their donors well.
They do.
Particularly
they
at do. The Federalist. But
they do. And but a lot of money. A real, real lot. Actual real house buying, hiring staff, spending money, being able to, you know, crank out books, hire publicists, buy your way on the television. Real fucking money is spent every day on the right. To promote the worst people who have the worst ideas. Uh-huh. That's the only way they stay alive, is by throwing a mountain of money at every problem. And it does work. But Red State was one of those. Apparently they had a big purge today, because the one split that was inevitable was the people who have some sort of vestigial gag reflex that we're okay with fascism, but we're not okay with the tweeting.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. It has to do with the tone. They don't like the tone of the Trump administration.
Right.
And they apparently don't mind at all that, and I think this is the number one story this week, regardless of all the other noise that's going on, Mitch McConnell is stacking the circuit courts with young conservatives.
Yes.
And
will be there for decades.
Will be there for decades. Mm-hmm. And that is going to affect everything we try to do to make the world a better place.
Yep.
And so no wonder he's being silent about Trump. No wonder he's saying impeachment. We're not even going to try to protect Mueller. That bill doesn't come to the floor. He's busy for building a movement for posterity.
Yes. He's building the sustainable,
right,
ongoing, permanent conservative state, which will consist of kicking the shit out of the poor, hating liberals, and cutting taxes until there's zero, and then using the $100 trillion deficit that zero taxes will create to destroy what's left of the New Deal.
Right.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
We just have the theocrats ruling the morality sphere, the public sphere, telling women where and when. You have Kevin Williamson running the morality world, then you have Paul Ryan running the corporate world,
right,
and we're just going to have rule by direct corporate fiat, rule by people, by the Koch brothers. They'll just run the country.
Right.
And the thing that stands between that happening and not happening are shitty blogs like ours and
active citizens like that care.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, the march. I mean, the marches in Arizona yesterday were amazing. Mm-hmm. The marches, the activated public base. I make a little bit light of it, but the activated public base is breathtaking.
The marches were for teachers and education, teachers.
Right?
And went on for miles. The margin in the very red district on Tuesday in the special election for that House seat was 5% in a district that Trump won by 21%. So there's a blue wave coming, and Mitch McConnell knows it, no doubt. And he's rushing. He is rushing very quietly to stack the courts.
Yeah. He's doing what Hermann Göring did at the end of World War II. He's stealing as much art as he possibly can, stuffing it into his car and trying to get the hell out of the country with all of his ill-gotten gains. Mm-hmm. Remember his wife is still a cabinet member.
So he's also got reason to be quiet about that, too.
Yeah. So. But today was a big day. This week was a big week for where the good Lord split you. they're speaking of splitting, their stock is splitting every couple of weeks because not only did Ronnie Jackson get his walking papers or drinking papers, whichever he prefers, because Thursday he does his drinking. So a bad day for him to do testimony, I guess. But Red State got purged today of all the anti-Trump writers.
Yeah. So
the people who are
use the discount code Red State to get a discount on your goodbye, you're fired cake, right?
Yeah. Sheet cake the size of Texas is coming your way. But yeah, we have our traditional, we have two of our newer but traditional sponsors. We welcome again Barry O's Berry Oatmeal, which especially this week, it's that oatmeal when you're eating it, you say, you know, this isn't that great. It's okay, but it's not that great. Then later, when it's all gone, you suddenly say, man, I wish I had some of the oatmeal back. Yeah, that's Berry O Oatmeal. It's so much better than you knew at the time.
And Laura Ingraham's sponsors aren't coming back, apparently.
She
cannot drink Slim Fast at her desk anymore because Slim Fast has abandoned her. We love Barry O's Berry Oatmeal. We also love our other sponsor, Stolen Property Brothers.
Yes.
Built on the Michael Cohen model. The name says it all. Stolen Property Brothers. Just so those of you that have been following our Twitter stream, and I deleted a tweet today, which I hardly ever do.
Yes.
We were trying to get back onto an Amazon Associates account.
Yes, we were.
And the reason we were doing that is Driftglass and I together, if we count both of us having a job as podcasters,
we do.
Four part-time jobs between us.
Five? We've got about six.
Okay. All right. That's right.
Including the contract work.
Yep.
But none of them pay.
Well, none of them pay enough. No one job pays enough to pay our health insurance in the course of a month.
And it makes us one of tens of millions of Americans who are in the same position.
Exactly. So we understand, you know, where this is not a complaint to anyone out there listening. We love our listeners. You guys are great. We have to find a model for podcasting that will pay our health insurance. We kind of have to do that this year. Long story short, we tried yesterday to apply for an Amazon account.
Yes.
And I put a couple of book ads on our website and tweeted about it. And I got an email this morning that we were rejected from having an account with Amazon. I don't know if we're banned for life from Amazon. But I went over, I was just curious to go over and see what the latest version of their terms and conditions for being an Amazon associate are. And one of the things is they give you a line that you have to put with your ads that says, you know, we are an Amazon associate and we receive a percentage or whatever. It's a one sentence thing that you're required to put on your blog. That's fine. And then there's basically an NDA, a gag order of you are not allowed to mention your relationship with Amazon in any other way, period. Yeah. Which means my tweet saying we're back on Amazon. If you want to go to over to our website and see the new ads we have up, breaks mm-hmm. the agreement that you have with Amazon.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to tell anybody that you're on Amazon. You're not allowed to make any point of it. And it's clear to me that given their first quarter earnings reports showing their profits up massively, mm-hmm. That they don't need us anymore. It yeah. was free money, you know, for the time that we had it, and it was good money.
Yeah, well, that was...
That did cover our health insurance. You know,
that was really a substantial portion of our income.
Of the income that we got from the podcast. It was at the time that we lost it, it was more than half of our income. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't, like I said, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody listening. I'm just realizing, and you and I are realizing, that getting more, you know, we have about 7,500 listeners a week to our podcast on average. Mm-hmm. And we literally have 1 or 2% of those people donating every month or donating when they can. I mean, if I were to sell a mailing list, mm-hmm. which I will never do, of people who have contacted us to give us money,
mm-hmm.
That is a list of 100 people.
Yeah,
you know, it really is 1 to 2%. So mm-hmm. If that's the model, you know, the rest of the people that listen, and we love you all. I'm not mad at anybody.
Nope.
The rest of the people have a mindset that podcasting is free. I listen to it for free. I listen to lots of podcasts. I listen to their ads. I take advantage of their advertising. And mm-hmm. that's the model that I use to listen to podcasts. And I expect that. I expect an ad on the show. Then we have to remove our purity cloak and say, okay, you know,
we'll take ads. We'll do ads.
We'll find an ad somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to find several. Or we can just grow our podcast tenfold.
Okay. We could talk about this for another hour. Let's not do that.
Let's move on to Bible Bitch, shall we? Which, again, not a lot of people.
Not a lot of people out there.
Going to be quoting scripture at you. But this week, it's not about scripture. It really is. We don't evangelize, but we do like to talk about faith issues.
Right. And I want to just talk about faith issues and give a shout out to a show that I watched this week and was not expecting it to be religious. And it turned out to be very religious. There is an episode of Queer Eye on Netflix that is remarkable in that the person that the Fab Five, and this is a show that is, we're calling this show the Tale of Three Reboots, our show, the Tale of Three Reboots. This first reboot is a reboot of a show from the 90s called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, where five gay men would make over usually a single man who needed grooming help. He needed to get his game on, right?
Yeah.
He needed to get it, his apartment cleaned up, and he needed a fresh haircut and new clothes. Mm-hmm. And so this new version, which has been rebooted for Netflix, is the same kind of reality show format where they visit a real person. They do provide new clothes and a new pad and, you know, change of attitude towards dating or whatever it is, your spouse. This takes place in Georgia. So the people that they are remaking in at least two instances appear to be evangelical Christians. And one in particular is clearly a very religious person. His dining room table is made out of the pews from the church he grew up in. And he married his sweetheart and had six children with her and is working two jobs and is exhausted all the time and has a lot of problems with just keeping it together. He's exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's doing this. He's very devoted to his wife. He's very devoted to his church and his children. And one of the people that one of the five gay men who come to make over this person's life grew up in an evangelical community in the South and talked very frankly. And this is episode 5, if you want to go and watch it. Talked very frankly about growing up in this environment, being told that gay people are evil, gay people are going to hell, all that kind of thing. And he was in a Christian rock band. He was a church active in youth organizing and doing all the right things.
Yeah.
And realizing all of a sudden, oh, wait, I'm not evil. I'm, you know, having to hide that and suppress it and suppress it. And one day realizing I can't hide this anymore. This is who I am. And then having to grow spiritually. You know, mm-hmm. that's yeah. when the spiritual growth comes in. And I think we've all gone through that in one way or another, perhaps not with this kind of intensity. But this man that he's helping, the gay man's name is Bobby, and the straight man who he's helping is also named Bobby. Bobby Camp is his name. They are literally in the garden planting vegetables. And he asks, the gay man asks, the straight man that he's helping, you know, what are your views on homosexuality? And they have a very warm, accepting, kind, loving conversation about it. In part, the reason that Bobby Camp has come around to reject the teachings of the church that he grew up in.
Right. Not the actual belief, not the actual Christian belief I understand, but right. the incredibly perverted version of Christianity.
And bigoted teaching uh-huh. of the church of their youth, which both right. of them have in common. You yes. know, they grew up in the same kind of environment.
Same kind of people.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, I came to see that a lot of the gay people I knew were really good people. And a lot of the straight people I knew were really not. And something has to be wrong here. You know, yeah. something has yeah. to be, there's something wrong with what they're teaching. It's, and they go on and talk about God in such a spiritual way. The difference between church teachings and spirituality, the difference between bigotry and love, and what is God? Is God love or is God bigotry? And understanding, growing spiritually, to accept and love and not hate. I mean, sometimes that's where you have to start, is not hating. And it is, as I said on Twitter, it was the most genuine religious conversion story expressed on television that I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. I think I can consciously say that. And this is reality television. Some of it is scripted. Some of it is going to be, you know, there are times when you're looking at someone and it's clear, you know, this got to be scripted. There's a camera crew in the room, you know, right. this, right. they're pretending that this is some sort of private moment between the couple. And it's, of course it's not, the camera's there, but, and you have, so you have the suspension of belief or suspension of disbelief.
Disbelief, does it say, right.
Right. Yeah, I understand. They're not having a private conversation. The camera's right in their face. But it was still a very genuine moment for both of these people. And so I recommend that. I just wanted to recommend that show. And then someone in church recommended to us the Liturgists podcast, correct?
Right.
You've
right.
had a chance to listen to that. I haven't yet. Tell me about it.
Well, it's we have... at our church, where we are both very active members, and we are called upon to do lots of different things. There's a small group of hard talking rebels,
yes,
of hardcore liberal progressive people who are also very sort of mission driven,
yeah,
who want to make the world a better place and want to help their neighbors and really believe they're called to do that.
And the church supports that by providing the structure of an adult Sunday school class for those people. Yeah. Right.
And we are, maybe we're being caged off from the rest of the people as bad influences.
I don't think so.
Cause they do let us mix with the other. They let me handle money, for God's sake. So they must trust me. But there is and so several people in that group know our terrible secret that we swear when we're not in church and mm-hmm. we talk about, you know, Donald Trump being an asshole and Republican Party. And which we live in a, you know, Trump country. So we're not totally secret about it, but we're not. We've had people come up and go, "Was that your podcast?" It's like, yes, it is. Like blah 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 blah. So one of the people there recommended this, was recommending podcasts, and one of them was called The Liturgists, which I have listened to, and I trust her opinion, and it's pretty good. I have skipped around a little bit, and I found one episode that you can go listen to if you want, on the evangelicals. It's part two of the evangelicals. And what I found interesting about it, and hopeful and discouraging all at the same time, is let's assume everyone involved in this podcast is not faking it. They're deeply faithful. They believe in what they say, et cetera. And they're sincere. They interviewed, I believe her name is Jen Hatmaker. I now follow her on Twitter, and she writes books. She's an evangelical. She's on television. She's a go-go getter. She's a sort of a liberal lefty, change the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The quote I pulled from the podcast is this: the 81% really hurt. When she found out that 81% of evangelicals are standing right behind Donald Trump and think he's doing a great fucking job, she had no idea what to make of that. And I'd like to talk to her one day because I don't know how you can be that politically active and that famous, or famous in that circle, write books, be on television, be an out and proud evangelical Christian. She stopped using the word evangelical. And
over
a progressive,
Trump.
Over Trump. A progressive / liberal, and not know who the fuck Jerry Falwell was. And not know the history of the perverse relationship between white conservative Christian evangelicals and the Republican Party that goes back 40 years. I don't know how you miss that. I really, really don't know how, but she did apparently. This was, came as a complete shock to her that all these people that she grew up with and she thought they shared the same kind of view of the world turned out to be monsters or completely alien to her understanding. And this has depressed. And the people who were talking to her were all like, yeah, it was a big shock to us. We didn't. And I don't know what to make of that. I think it has to do with the fact that they are not nearly as politically aware as they think they are. I think they're part of that third of the country who are undecideds or independents or centrists, or it's all loud and shouty and I don't want any part of it. I don't know who's at fault here. I just want to go over here and help kids and feed the hungry, which is great. But the label you have chosen for yourself, the label you have selected, and your calling is going to put you in the crosshairs of a really big cultural battle that's been going on for decades. And if you walk into that and you're shocked to find out that most evangelicals back Trump, this lying 10, you know, that every cardinal sin he revels in, he's a racist, he's an adulterer, he's a greedy, you know, lying son of a bitch. And all these good Christian people who hated Bill Clinton because he had a D after his name and who thought Barack Obama was probably a secret Muslim, but certainly wasn't a good Christian, are totally behind him. The fact that that came as a shock to these people is shocking to me.
Well, Jeremy Peters, who is often on Morning Joe, and you actually wrote about him this week because he was one who said both sides are being mean and partisan, and I don't know how we're going to do it. You know, they're losing that whole when we go low, when they go low, we go high. They're not doing that anymore on the Democratic side.
No, we're not, Jeremy.
Well,
we're really
guess
not.
What? You can't depend on us to be nice, and we're going to punch back, and we're going to win. And because you tried to take away our health insurance, and that we take that very personally. And so, but Jeremy Peters is also kind of the conservative expert who's says things the way Morning Joe wants them to be said. Okay. But he was on a day later than the thing you wrote about, talking about evangelicals and saying, look, the way the evangelicals are supporting Trump is completely transactional. They look the other way on all the shit that he's doing, and he gives them everything they want. He gives them particularly moving the Israeli ambassadorship to Jerusalem. That is like giving them a ticket to heaven, and they will never turn away from that.
And judges.
And judges, and turning back pro-gay and pro-trans policies and turning, you know, giving Mike Pence control the keys to the city in terms of whatever you want to do, Mike, in terms of tax policy. Churches can now get involved in politics and not have the IRS down their neck. Everything they want, they're getting from this president. They totally do understand that they are trading, accepting Donald Trump's evil, something they would never accept from anybody else. But he's giving them, he's saying, look the other way on that, and I will give you everything you want politically. And so it's callous. It's cold hearted. They're going to go to hell for it, in my opinion. And they don't care.
Look out.
Yep.
If only there was some, I don't know, story in the Bible about being taken to a high place and shown the kingdoms of the earth.
Yeah.
And being saying, all this can be yours.
Yep. If you only bow down and worship me. Yep.
All you have to do is bow down and worship. If only there was some parallel that was written in a book they're always carrying around and thumping in front of people like us and claiming to be morally superior to everyone else on the face of the earth that spoke to this exact issue.
That the person that they believe is God on earth says, get thee behind me, Satan.
Which is Old Testament speak for go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would rather die on a cross than ever do anything like that. You can take all of Caesar's shit and give it to Caesar because it has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be doing here in the world. That's what these people believe are supposed to believe. That is literally what they believe, that the Bible is the literal and inerrant word of God, which it is not. It is emphatically not. If you studied actual textual analysis of literature for 5 minutes, you know that this is not true. But they believe it. This is their own standard. And they are gleefully shitting all over any concept of morality or moral standards or moral relativity, which they always used to hate when liberals did it, in exchange for stuff.
Yep.
And that is here's the thing. They're going to get away with it again because they've gotten away with it before, unless this time they're stopped. Unless this time we cold cock.
Well, it does give me hope for the post-Trump future that they are trying to build a lifeboat. That there is a post-Trump future. There are days when I feel as though there isn't. The fact that Morning Joe is trying to pretend that they were never part of this and saying so on camera, in a perverted way gives me hope. Oh, they think that there's a post-Trump where they have to build a lifeboat to survive and lie about their past. We can get there, but we got to burn those lifeboats. You cannot allow the Republican Party to continue as having a say in our healthcare decisions, in our aging policy, in our tax policy. Their policies are terrible. It's austerity for you and tax cuts for billionaires. That's their policy, and it's not. It doesn't work. It's failed.
If you get a chance to see Sarah Kendzior,
she was amazing this week on her book tour.
They had to invite her on Morning Joe because she won awards and she's amazing. But they sat there in a little semicircle around her and basically begged her not to say that they were complicit in the rise of Donald Trump.
They said she had expertise and she was so good and everyone should buy this book and isn't it great? And everyone around this table knew that Donald Trump was terrible. And she went, yeah, sure you did. You know, she makes this statement. Yeah, I know you do, or something like that. It's just really funny. She's laughing through her, but she had been read the rule book. You know, you're not going to call out Meek and Joe, and they will promote your book, and that's the trend. Yeah. And that is transactional.
As long as she sat there and talked about, she did say, yeah, but you kind of have to examine how we got to this.
You have to examine that Trump started his campaign with racism and that the media allowed him to continue after that. And she did say that. Yeah.
And those seeds hit a very fertile ground that was there long, long before Donald Trump ever showed up. And that's when everybody on the panel got real giggly and friendly.
And you know what? And it also started bringing up Jonah Goldberg's book, which is our third reboot. Legion is our second reboot, right?
Our second reboot is actually Lost in Space.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't have it in our notes, but Lost in Space is a damn good show. That's all I'll say. We're going through the list. Like, wait a minute. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is a really adult reboot of a silly show. A fine show, but a silly show. This was a really kind of adult, serious, interesting, substantive exchange. Lost in Space is doing to old Lost in Space, the Dr. Smith and Will Robinson and robot comedy hour, what Battlestar Galactica did to Battlestar Galactica in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It's actually taking the beats of the original show, the actual, you know, here are the main characters and here's the sort of the spine of the plot, and making a really interesting, tightly written, very good adult drama out of it. And I got to say, way to go. Why the hell would you reboot Lost in Space? They did that shitty movie in the 90s that fell apart. It was with Matt, what's his name, as Don Smith. It was Major Don. It was a terrible movie. And it didn't work. This one works really well.
Well, they've got a budget. And so, for every episode, they've got a big budget. Yeah. So, and it does remind me a lot of Battlestar Galactica.
It does. It really does. I will not spoil it other than to say Dr. Smith is Gaius Baltar.
Yeah.
They figured out how to make a villain in a way that fits. It isn't a cartoon character. And that you can actually believe that there are coincidences, which I forgive them. But the science, other than flying faster than light, which no one believes, is not possible. But the actual mechanics of the show are very, very realistic, and I just like the whole thing. I'm thrilled that they actually took science fiction seriously and put together a show based on an old kiddie show, basically, that actually does a good job. That's the second reboot. The third reboot is Jonah Goldberg's book. Mm-hmm.
It's called The Suicide of the West, and it has been promoted endlessly on Morning Joe. It's the Lifeboat Handbook.
Everywhere.
The Republican Lifeboat Handbook, folks. That's what it is.
We're gonna circle back and talk about Legion, but I do want to talk about Jonah Goldberg's book for this reason. This is really important. I'm going to stake my paltry professional reputation on the fact that this is a very big deal.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you why. Jonah Goldberg's book is called The Suicide of the West. His last book was The Tyranny of the Clichés, for which he got $1 million advance. A Tyranny of Clichés. The book before that that everyone remembers is Liberal Fascism, which was liberals are fascists. The secret history of liberalism is the history of fascism, which is just bullshit on every single level. Keith Olbermann, among many, many, many other people, tore it apart on the air, laughed the guy off the stage. It doesn't matter. Right. Jonah Goldberg's not going anywhere because Jonah Goldberg is a Weekly Standard writer. He's wired into the Wingnut welfare system through his family and through everyone he knows.
Well,
he's
and Wingnut welfare,
anywhere.
Let's be clear. So, conservative people buy books that reinforce their worldview.
Yes.
They buy books more than they consume other mass media. And so there is a reason why Random House and these other big publishing houses have conservative imprints to publish Ann Coulter, to publish Jonah Goldberg, to publish these folks and give them advances, give them publicity contracts, get them on Morning Joe, get them on NBC, you know, Mrs. Greenspan's interviewing them. It's a big deal because there's money in it. And it's money in it because there is an audience that will go out and pay for the hardcover book to have it on their shelves, just like the Bible. It reinforces my worldview, therefore I own it.
There's also, there are people who will buy, there are organizations that will buy in bulk. Right. and give it away for a penny, give it away for nothing as a premium, just to move it up the bestseller list. And while these people are not writing books, they're working for conservative organizations that are massively well-funded to do this every day. So what we mean by wingnut welfare is a broad spectrum of money that's always made available to every dingus who's willing to punctuate a sentence on behalf of the right so that they never miss a meal. It's a straight up, in Chicago, we called it clout. It was a straight up trade. It was, I will be loyal to you in exchange for job security. And if you are a conservative writer above a certain threshold, they will always find you, even on MSNBC. There's no reason on God's earth why Hugh Hewitt should have a microphone and a camera pointed at him ever. He's horrible. But there's some arrangement somewhere way between upstairs, somebody and somebody else that says Hugh Hewitt never goes without work. David Brooks will have a job for life. John Podhoretz gets to come on MSNBC. Bill Kristol gets to have his own magazine, plus be on MSNBC, plus on NBC, plus CNN. Anywhere Bill Kristol wants to appear, he gets paid appearances no matter what. And nobody asks any questions. There has to be, by virtue of simple third grade deduction, an enormous amount of money being poured into the system to keep these assholes propped up and funded. That's really important because you and I do this part-time between other jobs as much as we can. But these people are sitting on a fucking pile of money, and they have the time, therefore, to go off and write shitty books. And then those shitty books are blurbed by
a whole column.
David Brooks wrote a
on
whole
the,
column
how wonderful this book is, and how he's the future of conservative thought in America.
It's going to be debate shifting, Blue Gal. It's epic. Brad Thor reviewed it. Who's a wingnut welfare queen? John Podhoretz reviewed it on Amazon. He runs Commentary Magazine. You might have seen him, which is a right-wing magazine. And you see him every third day on MSNBC.
Who is being silenced,
Kevin Williamson, you know, anti-woman. Being silenced by virtue of the fact that he only gets columns in Commentary and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and in the Weekly Standard. And John Podhoretz hired him at the Commentary Magazine. Has also reviewed Jonah Goldberg's book as awesome. A noted conservative phrenologist and racist, Charles Murray, thinks this is a great book. Stephen Hayes, editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard, Fox News host, and his most famous book, his own book, was called Connections, which is all about how Iraq definitely had weapons of mass destruction, and Al-Qaeda was certainly in cahoots with Saddam Hussein. And I'm sure it's available in some bargain bin somewhere. But Stephen Hayes has never been without a job. He loves Jonah Goldberg. So it's an entirely self-contained universe funded by crackpot billionaire money, which we do not have on the right, on the left. Here's the important part. The reason Jonah Goldberg's book is being held up as a model is because it is an attempt by that small group of people, the never Trump people, the people who are better than the mob, who ran the Republican Party, who ran the conservative movement, who turned it into a vehicle that Donald Trump could hijack. They need to save their asses. They have no constituency outside of each other. They certainly can't join the liberal movement and admit they've been wrong all these years. What do they have? They have control of the microphones. They have control of the cameras. They have control of printing presses. And they have a shitload of money. And they are building themselves a lifeboat. And this book is the mast on the lifeboat. This is the one they can all huddle behind and say, see, conservatism really is a serious intellectual pursuit. But here's the problem. I don't have a copy of the book yet. I just looked at the table of contents. But it looks an awful lot like that this is a reboot of Ayn Rand's Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal from 1960-something. A 50-year-old book on capitalism and why capitalism is that. It is the soft reboot of Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal with dick jokes that nobody asked for. And that's the important thing. Without any other, because conservatism has failed. Republicanism has failed.
There has been an awakening in this country with the election of Donald Trump to realize your ideas, Republican Party, are terrible. They hurt people. And we're not going to tolerate them anymore. And it's got everyone running scared. Because if the only people we can fool are the rubes, and we can't get disinterested college students to just stay home on election day because they realize how important it is to get out and vote against you because of the NRA, and they've awoken to that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in huge trouble.
That's right. So what did the Republicans do last time they faced an existential crisis, which was the end of the Bush administration?
They invented the Tea Party.
They invented a Tea Party. They invented a lifeboat for the morons. They invented a lifeboat, a cheap and easy. All it required was buying a tricorn hat, a Gadsden flag, and swearing by on the lives of your children you never heard of George Bush.
Right. And guess they what? Had a shit ton of money, as
they
you
did.
Said.
They had a shit ton of Coke money, Fox money, Glenn Beck money.
Well, Glenn Beck was paid $1 million to promote. I didn't realize this until this year. Was paid $1 million by Dick Armey to promote the Tea Party movement. And that's why Tea Party folks had, thank God for Glenn Beck, signs all over the place.
Yeah, the 912 movement.
The 912 movement of, we just want to get back together again the way we all were the day after 9/11. Well, yeah, so that's before Bush fucked everything up.
That's right. And right? So to save themselves, right. They invented a Bush off machine, which I've written about a million times, which was this magic machine that made it so that you never really supported George Bush. The past never happened. The past did not exist. Those Bush Cheney bumper stickers on your car, who knows who put them there? I can't say why. All the liberal friends that you called stupid and French loving and a terrorist lover all those years because they didn't support George Bush. We didn't forget what you did, but you suddenly have no memory of any of that shit. You're a brand new party. You're a Tea Party. You're an independent. You're a conservative. You're certainly not a Republican, certainly not a Bush Republican. That is the tool that is being applied now to the elite, to the brain cast of the Republican Party and conservative movement, to the Jonah Goldbergs and Michael Gersons and Bret Stephens and David Brookses and all the rest of these fuckers who rode this gravy train into the ground. They need to save themselves now. So what is their common story? The common story they all tell in every fucking column they write, every time they're on camera, that Donald Trump came down the escalator 2 years ago. Before that, everything was fine. We had nothing to do with it. He showed up. He corrupted them with his magic, ensorceling Green Lantern powers and turned our good movement, our good conservatism, into this monstrous hellscape that have nothing to do with us. It wasn't us. We were never there. He has nothing to – it's not Republicanism. It's Trumpism.
That's right.
And that is the lie that the elites are selling to the country and to themselves. That it wasn't – this is Joe Scarborough's bread and butter, which is why no one is allowed to tell him to his face that he's a fucking liar. And that's what scares the shit out of me, because they really do control the cameras. Yeah. They really do control the printing presses. They really have the wherewithal to let Jonah Goldberg write a shitty reboot of a 50-year-old book, declare it to be the new breakthrough in conservative thinking that, by the way, gets us all the fuck off the hook. Who does Jonah Goldberg blame for the way things are going? Based on the table of contents and the interviews I've seen, it's all tribalism, Blue Gal.
Tribalism.
It's the anger and the extremes on both sides, Blue Gal. Well, that's music to David Brooks's fucking ears. So that's their salvation. That will be their salvation. If they can get away with lying about the history of the Republican Party, the history of conservatism, and when the phenomena started that led to Donald Trump began, if they can get away with saying it was 2 years ago rather than 30 years ago or 40 years ago, they will get away with it again. And what will happen after that? What will happen? These same fuckers will reseed the same imbeciles with the same ideas, and they'll come up with someone who's slightly smarter than Donald Trump, who doesn't tweet as often. They'll get someone Marco Rubio, who can do exactly the kind of damage that Donald Trump has been doing, but do it with a smile on his face and a more acceptable public presence, and will be fucked if that happens. That's why this is important. This is the vanguard of the new – this is the rear guard action. And if they lose this, they lose everything. If they win this, they win everything. That's why I think it's terribly important. So that's why I'm up on my soapbox.
It's terribly important to focus in on this kind of lifeboat building.
Right.
And cut it off at every opportunity that you that Republican ideas are terrible. Mm-hmm. This is not Trumpism. It didn't start with the escalator. And the Republican establishment made a huge mistake. They allowed Jeb Bush to represent them.
Yeah, that was.
And that was, that reminded the Rubes that they had voted for George Bush. Ooh, ooh. And they needed to forget that. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump at the, you and I, you actually applauded Donald Trump at the debate.
I did.
Where he said, Bush didn't keep us safe.
Yep.
You know, this, there was this incredibly subversive moment where Donald Trump called out the Bush regime. Mm-hmm. Said, you didn't keep us safe. Your brother didn't keep us safe. And it wasn't just safe from 9/11. That's what got me thinking about that, mm-hmm. was you didn't keep us safe from ourselves. You didn't keep us safe from believing that we were a success. You remind us, Jeb Bush reminds us that we were a failure,
right?
That we failed, in the economy. We were lied into war, and that we're an embarrassment.
And that liberals laughed.
The Republican Party and liberals laughed at us, and they were right. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to be reminded of that. And so as much as anything, Donald Trump was the ultimate Bush off machine, right? Oh, we don't want the elites in Washington to run things. He's not a politician. What they meant is he's not a Bush regime establishment Republican, which we cannot tolerate anymore because they failed and made us look ridiculous.
And now, this is why
that's the irony, of course, is who's making them look ridiculous again is Donald Trump.
Well, and this is why Jonah Goldberg is on NPR and Morning Joe and on The Daily Show, venue after venue after venue, where no one asks him anything but softball questions.
Yeah.
Nobody pushes him at all because, and it takes, believe me, it takes a shitload of money to push this jerk whose last famous book is called Liberal Fascism out there in a way that no one asks him, well, if tribalism is bad, why the fuck did you write a book called Liberal Fascism?
Right.
Because weren't you like one of the leaders of the pack? Weren't you one of the worst goat fucking Jonah Goldberg?
Yeah.
Weren't you one of the worst defenders of this? But we can't allow the past to screw up our lifeboat building.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, I hate to say it, that's how wide the conspiracy is. That's what money gets you. Money gets you this kind of protection. But here's the thing. That's all they have.
Yes,
they don't have a constituency. They don't have an intellectual movement. They got nothing. They got a couple thousand writers and producers and white paper people and think tank people with $1 billion behind them. But they have a glass jaw because these people could not stand up for 30 seconds in an actual debate over how we got to where we are. That's why they protect themselves and wall themselves off behind a giant wall of money. And that's why they won't come out and debate people like us, because we would destroy them. Mm-hmm. And they know it. This is why teachers scare the hell out of them. This is why Black Lives Matter scare the hell out of them. This is why the blue wave. This is why women in pussy hats. This is why the anti-gun movement, the Me Too movement scares the shit out of them. Because those are people who do not listen to them and do not care about Jonah Goldberg's book.
Right.
And don't really care and draw no distinction between Donald Trump and the assholes at Red State who are having a pillow fight over who's slightly less fascist than the other.
And the women who are running things and the college students and the high school students who are doing these marches are so far underneath them. it is like an elephant and a mouse, right?
And they never saw them coming.
They never saw it coming. Yeah. But the organization that's going on the ground, and I hope people who are listening to me are participating in that. I realize we're now at this kind of lull, which is just after many primaries and before the general election starts to swing into action, probably in August. But you need to be making postcards for your Democratic congressional candidate. You need to find out who your Democratic congressional candidate is. Mm-hmm. If you're a phone person, you can be making phone calls from home. They'll help you make phone calls from home. We need to, it's turnout. We need to get people to the polls. I'm going to be doing that. And I'm going, you know, make a difference. And that all happens so far beneath the purview of Morning Joe that looks at poll numbers and doesn't see the percentage of voters that come out because someone at the hair salon talked about it, or someone got a postcard, or someone's aunt called them, or someone went to church and said, you know, I just am worried about my grandmother in the nursing home, and she's on Medicaid, and she needs Medicaid to stay in the nursing home. And what am I going to do if they cut that? Mm-hmm. And we all know who they is.
Yes, we
Everybody
do.
Knows who they is.
You sure? And they're the ones who are sitting real quiet on their hands these days, trying not to attract attention to themselves, because everything we told you was going to happen is happening now. And now they're being real. Now they talk about sports a lot.
Yeah. Sports and country music and so forth.
And country music.
And even Hugh Hewitt today is all about the Cleveland Browns. He's got 40 tweets about the NFL draft. That's what he's talking about. You want to talk about Donald Trump on Fox and Friends.
Now, here's the thing I realized. Yeah. And we did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. We short sheeted a little bit on the news roundup. We'll do a quick news roundup now.
Right.
Because
you notice we haven't talked about Donald Trump on Fox and Friends yet.
No, because everybody else is. Yeah. Because we really do think a lot about this show when we're not talking. And mm-hmm. this really is sort of a microphone on a conversation that we're having all the time anyway. Because mm-hmm. we love each other. We're crazy about each other. And this is one of the things that we deeply care about. But the thing I think we do best is give people context for what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a vocabulary and a context and sort of a way to a microscope and a telescope to make sense of what's near and what's far away and what's important and what's not important. And you can hold your thumb up and block out the moon. Doesn't mean your thumb's bigger than the moon.
Right. Right.
So the news roundup is important, but let's face it. Everybody, Bazooka Joe is going to be having cartoons about Donald Trump going crazy pants on Fox next week. Right. So there'll be no dearth of commentary on that. We're going to talk about it. We'll talk about it right now. But we're doing this on purpose because we do want to focus on what we do better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Contextualize things and make it real for people.
And let you guys know you're not alone in your concern, your passion, and worry and nervousness about the future and hope for the future. And give you a vocabulary for hope for the future, because I need it. I need to hear it. And, you know, it's depressing if you don't hold on to what can I do. And that's why, you know, there are days when after I've written about politics for 8 hours, I just have to sit and knit cancer patient shawls, because that makes a difference. This postcard project, just postcards to voters. If you Google that, you can see there's all these opportunities and instructions on how to make postcards for voters. That's something that I can do that will make a small difference and make the world a better place by getting rid of Republican policies. I'm going to keep saying it. Republican policies are terrible.
They're terrible.
They hurt people.
And people who believe in them are terrible. Well, there aren't any policies. They're just getting rid of everything that makes us great.
And what infuriates me more than anything else is that the meme of the lifeboat builders is, yeah, but Democrats don't have any policies except for hating Trump.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. That's just the cherry on top, guys.
And who – I just – if I had an opportunity to reply to that, Morning Joe, it would be, explain to me what the Republican policy is on health insurance. What is your policy? Is your policy is I don't get any? Is that your policy? Because that's not acceptable. And that's not acceptable to most voters. Anyway.
Well, and it's like saying – that Democrats have no policy on public housing. They just hate people who burn down public housing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. It exists. It's imperfect. We'd like to improve it, but we'd like to build on what is out there now. You people want to burn it all down.
Yes, we really
do
hate people
reason.
Who want to burn down public housing. We really hate that.
Yes,
you're
we
right.
do. We really do. And I'm not going to make – and it's not because we it's because of what they do. If they just sat at home – and jerked off to guns and ammo and didn't go out and try to destroy this country, that'd be fine. It's a free country. But you stepped outside into the public policy arena and you're wrecking everything that's good about this country, and you're butt scooting your shitty racist attitude all over everything that makes us kind and decent as human beings. And we're going to stop you. And if we can put you back in the sewer from whence you came and make you harmless again, that's what I'd like to do. But your policies have to stop. And if that means it sounds like I hate you, it's only because I hate everything about you.
I hate your
you.
Policies. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah. All of them. And I hate the fact that you cling on to them, not because you like them, not because they do any good, not because they pass basic muster, but because they make my wife cry.
Yep.
That's the only reason you assholes do shit is because it makes liberals angry.
That's right.
And that, and spite and ignorance is no way to run a goddamn country.
And you hurt yourself when you do that. I had some, said this before, but I had someone on Twitter talking from the perspective of, it was right after Charlottesville. And you see how liberals hate Nazis, but, you know, liberals don't want Nazis to have health care. And I went, oh, yes, I do. Some Nazi sure might cough on my kid. I want you to have the best health insurance. And especially I want Nazis to have all their shots. Because if you cough on my kid, it might rub off somehow. Yeah.
Right. No, I want them to be healthy and clean and have a minimum basic income.
Yeah, yeah.
I want them to have job security. I want them to have health care. You know why? Because honestly, I want to save their souls.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really do believe that these people have sold their soul to a monstrously evil thing. And part of the fallout of the lie that the awful forces that they've sold themselves to, part of the fallout is destroying my family and my neighborhood and my state and my country. And that needs to stop. And since we can't reason with them and we can't get them to accept basic math and we can't even get them to acknowledge shit they said yesterday that they believe, there's nothing to do but drive them out of office. Believe me, we've tried sugar and cookies and that didn't work. That was called the Obama administration and that didn't work. So we're going to try something else.
Hey, Drift Glass.
Yeah, Blue Gal.
Hey, Drift Glass. We're at an hour.
Let's blitz through a little bit of news. Just pick some stuff you'd like talk about.
You go ahead and read it.
Well, everyone knows Donald Trump went nuts on Fox and Friends. To the point where they had to tell him to be quiet. And we're out of time, Mr. President, which nobody does unless, you know, this is your drunk father, uncle at the table rambling on and you can't leave for some reason. You know, you can't get up or there'll be trouble. And in the process.
And one of our correspondents wrote to us and said that he seriously thinks that maybe he took too many stimulants that morning. Yeah. You know, that is a possibility. Right. He gets like 3 hours of sleep and probably wakes up to something. You know, no dose or whatever.
Yeah.
And you take too much of that and you ramble. And he did.
He doesn't wake up to Melania, that's for sure.
On her birthday. On my birthday, I especially want you to leave me alone an extra hour.
And he managed to set fire to his own legal defense during his mad ramble, which in real time, people in court that day arguing said, wait a minute. What did he say?
Yeah.
Oh, get this
we
shit
don't
down.
Need to do nothing except mention what he said on TV. Yes.
Federal prosecutors seized as many as 16 cell phones, burner phones, as you Better Call Saul fans know them, during the raids on Michael Cohen's office, home, and hotel rooms. That's kind of fun. Michael Cohen will plead the fifth in a lawsuit filed against Trump by Stormy Daniels. Now, let's all remember what Donald Trump said about people who plead the fifth. Blue Gal.
They're in the mob.
They're in the mob. They're not to be trusted. Who pleads? What innocent person would plead the fifth? And he said it over and over and over again. And I know the fact that he says shit on film doesn't matter to the morons who are out there who do nothing but watch Fox News. Because this week, believe it or not, as we do sometimes, we flipped over to Fox News to watch the latest breaking news in MC13. MSNBC 13. I can't keep track. Suffice it to say, it is hilarious to tune in and watch the alternate universe because the worse news gets for Trump in the real world, the more crazy ass, tangential, has nothing to do with anything. Panda's having sex news goes on at Fox. It is like criminology in that sense.
It is. And Drift Glass, I thought it was particularly telling on Hannity last night that the Trump interview with Fox and Friends, they didn't show the Fox and Friends hosts. And their faces. They just showed a picture of Donald Trump and his audio very carefully clipped to try to make him sound sane. Yeah. But there were no pictures of the dead-eyed panic look in Steve Doocy's face.
According to
Donald Trump was rambling. Yeah.
According to Soviet history, you knew that the premier was dead when Pravda started playing, state TV started playing nothing but somber music for 4 days.
Yep.
We're not going to say he's dead, but we're going to let you know. So you know things are going bad when Tucker Carlson is talking about panda sex.
Right,
Things are in the real world are going horribly wrong, and they've been going horribly wrong for a long time. Ronnie Jackson, you know, Dr. Feelgood, Candyman, committed what I believe is called physician-assisted career suicide.
He did.
On camera in front of a bunch of people.
And Fox Business are blaming Democrats because he was an Obama doctor as well. He put Obama's life at risk while he was drunk on the job.
Yes, he did. Donald Trump is apparently extremely opposed suddenly to sitting down with Robert Mueller to have an interview.
Well, Rudy Giuliani told him how bad that would be, and he believed Giuliani. So,
except of course, 6 months ago, he was anxious to do it right now. Champion of the bet, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. This one jumped out at me today. This one really got
jumped out to a lot of people. Yeah,
Paul Ryan fired the House chaplain after the House chaplain offered a prayer for the poor and tax cuts. The House chaplain, Patrick Conroy, wrote to Paul Ryan, "As you have requested, I hereby offer my resignation as the 60th chaplain of the United States House of Representatives." Mm-hmm. That's some absolutely
it's
Soviet shit.
Paul Ryan, a cafeteria Catholic. Yeah. And what he doesn't realize is that this Pope Francis wave of priests doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to hear about his tax cuts for billionaires.
Nope. This week, speaking of abusers who shouldn't be anywhere near anything, the FBI said it told the White House about allegations of spousal abuse by Robert Porter, you know, wife beater Rob Porter, in March of 2017, which flatly contradicts what the the Trump administration has been saying all along, because they just lie all the time about everything.
I like the way you wrote the next four of them. Can I just read them off real quick?
Sure. Please do.
Scott Pruitt is amazing. Solid, unrepentant corruption. Mick Mulvaney is amazing. He only listens to bankers and lobbyists who pay him. And he said so out loud.
And he also has told people that the best thing they can do to help destroy the bureau that he now oversees is to give money.
Ben Carson is amazing. He wants to triple rent increases for low-income Americans on Section 8, which Section 8 doesn't even begin to cover the need for that people have for affordable housing. Okay. John Bolton is amazing. He used to chair
up until a month ago, Gatestone Institute.
Anti-Muslim propaganda Schlockhaus, which was, by the way, a 501c3.
Of course it was.
Rand Paul is amazing. He ran away from his opposition to Mark Pompeo.
Mike Pompeo, yes, he swore on a stack of copies of Atlas Shrugged, which he values more than life itself, that he would never, ever, ever vote for Mike Pompeo. Then he voted for Mike Pompeo because Rand Paul runs away from everything. Rand Paul has principles, and then he abandons them and runs in the opposite direction, which is a...
But he gets the camera on him while he's running away. That's the whole deal. North and South Korea may have ended the Korean War, which means that Donald Trump is being robbed of the Nobel Peace Prize, according to conservatives.
You know, and this is separate and apart from everything else, this could be amazing, wonderful news. It also could be a fucking ruse, and it also could be incredibly perilous. It also could be really dangerous. I don't know. I don't know enough about anything to do with the subject, but I do know
we do know that the North Koreans' nuclear missile site collapsed.
They're done with it. They're done with it.
And so they don't have that anymore. And I think it's possible that Kim Jong-un decided, well, if we don't have that, then we need food.
Right. Well, and once you've made 10 cars and parked them in the garage, you can give up your car making capacity because you've already got the goddamn cars.
Right. Right. And, we'll see what happens. I don't hold out any hope for Kim Jong-un to all of a sudden become a human rights advocate.
You mean the Honorable Kim Jong-un?
Yeah. He was getting lots of attention, which is what he wanted. Yeah. And if we don't hold, and we won't, I mean, we just won't, because Donald Trump's got to get a Nobel Peace Prize. That's the point. But if we don't stay awake to the human rights abuses of the North Korean government, we might as well just hang it up as a country. The United States doesn't stand for anything anymore.
Well, and speaking of that, a federal judge has told the Trump administration they have to start accepting new DACA applications. So, fuck you.
Because this policy affects people, and there's no reason for it other than racism.
Right.
And the judges in the case looked at this case and said there was no reason for this. Except for the race, they didn't say except for the racism of the Republican Party. They just said there's no reason to affect people's lives this way. The government does not have a legitimate argument for why they are stopping it. So there you go. around 80% of Americans say they see no tax cut in their paychecks at all. And gas prices are going up. It's the summertime coming.
Yeah, it went up for me.
And your health insurance is gone.
Right.
So it's taken them all the money that you have, as it is for us. So
I want a lyric that Middle Child's been quoting for a while. I hope it's a lyric. President Emmanuel Macron was here for a good time, but not for a long time. And he got everything he wanted. All he had to do was learn how to, you know, let the alpha male groom him in public.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get everything he wanted because Pompeo this morning announced that we're getting out of the Rand deal. So shiv in the back, as my colleague at Kristen Lyers said, since you fly away, we'll just stab you.
Yep. And a funny story, true story, a convicted felon, monstrous human being and coal asshole Don Blankenship is running his U.S. Senate campaign for West Virginia while living in his $2.5 million villa in Nevada. Because
that really ought to be a campaign issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, assuming those people give a shit, it should be.
Yeah.
But I'm not making those assumptions right now.
During Barbara Bush's funeral, Trump tweeted about the DNC's lawsuit over hacked emails, accused James Comey of leaking classified memos, and called Jeff Sessions Mr. Magoo and Rod Rosenstein Mr. Peepers. Also, Melania Trump smiled for the first time in memory. Certainly his first time as first lady.
She smiled
at Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Oh, you know, there was hell to pay.
Maybe that's why she didn't get a birthday present.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's your present, bitch. In March, the RNC spent nearly $250,000 at Mar-a-Lago. 1 month, $250,000 funneled into Donald Trump's pockets.
How much has Joe Scarborough spent at Mar-a-Lago in the past 5 years?
No. Million.
He's been Christmas. He's been there for three Christmases, yeah. I think. Not 2017, but 2016, 2015, and I believe 2014. He and his kids, that was their Christmas trip in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was the week that Bill Cosby was finally convicted.
Yep.
And this is the week.
With one woman out of how many? But that was the one where the timing of the case was correct that they could prosecute.
I would like to end with some shocking news.
Okay.
Shockingly, it wasn't economic anxiety after all. Turns out people voted for Trump because they were worried about losing their social status, specifically white, Christian, and male voters feared their social status was threatened and that Trump would restore it.
Trump will make America, meaning them, great again, literally.
Yeah, white
That's
again.
Why
white
that again. Statement. Well, making them great again, making their worldview in charge. And part of it is fear of death. You know, you and I talked about that, that they're 60 and you and I are pushing 60 and, you know, you're not young anymore. And all of a sudden America, all the TV commercials have mixed marriages and, you know, the gays got their parade. Where's my military parade? Right. Where's my parade to make me feel strong and powerful? And Trump was promised them that. And I still think that this drain the swamp thing is sort of the wedge to get. I feel still the hope that we can get together with our conservative brethren with boots on the ground on the issue of get the money out of politics.
I couldn't agree more.
When you put that on the ballot and you get it passed, you will get it passed with Republican votes as well.
I think that should be the case. I don't know if it ever will be, but it certainly should be. And it should be one of those things that and Veterans Affairs should be the sort of thing that, it has to stop because it's just killing everything.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And privatizing veterans hospitals is just a stupid idea. Yep. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Phaedra. Phaedra used to be an angry feral cat, but is now a fluffy, goofy, spoiled princess.
Yay!
You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. We do love hearing from you. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And we need it to pay our bills. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. And yes, you can too.
You can.
Here's
so
how
easy.
You do it.
It's
you
so
go to
easy.
Our website. It's so easy. You go to our website, prelefpod.com. There's a little list of things that you can do. Our PayPal, postal address information, Patreon, GoFundMe. It's all there. You can click and you can donate. Go to prolefpod.com. You can also buy merch, which, you know, you'd get merch. We have Both Sides Don't bumper stickers.
We do.
Come on, people.
We have Let Justice Be Done, Though the Heavens Fall bumper sticker, which is a little much, perhaps.
That's in Latin. You have that in Latin on the bumper sticker. Yeah, that's pretty. That you're a real hardcore Driftglass fan.
Elitist. You're an elitist.
Elitist.
You're a goddamn elitist.
Who is letting Driftglass's monster loose if you buy that bumper sticker?
Go ahead.
Double dare you. Double dare you.
Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties are kind of pissed. I mean, they have over 30 Ronnie Jackson so unqualified that jokes. They're just going to go to waste now.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.